I can defeat the devil.
I can defeat the devil.
Every single day.
Every single day.
This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
My Bible is.
My Bible is.
The Word of God.
The Word of God.
And God's Word.
And God's Word.
Is the revelation.
Is the revelation.
Of His will.
Of His will.
For my life.
For my life.
Whatever it says I am.
Whatever it says I am.
That's what I am.
That's what I am.
Whatever it says I can do.
Whatever it says I can do.
I can do it.
I can do it.
Whatever it says I have.
Whatever it says I have.
I claim it.
I claim it.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Father God, we thank you for the opportunity we had to hear your word, to teach your word, and to preach your word. Father, now help us to be doers of your word in the name of Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. You may be seated. We're going to continue in our teaching on love, the law of the kingdom. This will actually be the last in the series of teachings on love being the law of the kingdom. Praise God.
Amen.
So turn with me to John chapter 13. And before we get into the message, I forgot to state, I need some strong young brothers to go with me after the service today to Brother Morris's house to help him move. Praise God. I hope I will not ask you right now for to raise your hands, but I hope to get some volunteers, because we have a brother that's in need. If you have already have something scheduled, unless it's something with your wife or your son or your daughter or whatever have you, you know, those things are important. We don't want to disappoint our children. But unless, you know, you have anything else going on other than something vitally important, unless you're not going, if you're not going to work or anything like that, change your schedule. I need you. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. We have
volunteer. If somebody would drive me to
Drive you home?
Hilton? No, not home. Just exit to the first, right after Ruale exit, I left my car there.
Okay, I'll take you.
Okay.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. So we got one volunteer. Now y'all gonna, I hope y'all ain't gonna make me and Pastor Steve, because we the older ones here. Praise God. Right. So I need some of y'all younger men to volunteer. Praise Jesus. As a matter of fact, me and Pastor Steve should be just sitting there supervising. Have you found John chapter 13 yet? Amen. And look, we're going to go to verse 34 and 35. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. Today, in this last session on this in this series on love being the law of the kingdom, we're going to talk about how to walk in the God kind of love. Praise God.
Amen.
I've spent a lot of time sharing with you what love is, how it operates, the type of character that our Father God has, which is one of love. Praise God.
Amen.
Everything emanates from God's love. See, if you understand the love of God, then you will not be afraid of God. Praise God.
Amen.
You will fear Him, but not, when I say fear Him, that means reverence Him, worship Him, but you will not be afraid of Him. Praise God.
Amen.
Because God is so loving, He desires a relationship with you and me. He is so in love with you. Even in your mess, He is still in love with you. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. I'm so glad He's in love with me, because I was in a mess when he felt. The fact that he was in love with me when I was still in the mess, and sometimes I still get in a mess. What a good God. Verse 34 says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another." Say, love one another.
Love one another.
And listen to this. He says that ye love one another. Look to what Jesus says. "As I have loved you, that ye also love one another." Praise God.
Amen.
Jesus wants us to love one another the way He loves us. Praise God.
Amen.
Now, if Jesus treated us the way we treat each other sometimes, we wouldn't think of Him as a God of love, I'm telling you. The fact that Jesus deals with us so unconditionally sometimes, and that, you know, we always gotta put a caveat here, because every time I say stuff like that, people might think it's an excuse to sin. And the way some people are teaching the grace of God these days, you think you have a license to sin. No, when I say he loves you unconditionally, that doesn't mean you go out and just do your thing and say, well, God still loves me. No, if you love God, you ain't gonna sin. As a matter of fact, we're gonna share more about that in a minute. But we are to love each other the way God loves us. That's why we spent quite a bit of time talking about the type of character God has, which is one of love. See, in order to understand how to love each other, we need to understand how God loves us. Praise God.
Amen.
And you know, the series will be online soon for those of you who might have missed certain sections of it. But it goes on to say, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Praise
Amen.
God. Do you know why some people don't want to come to church these days? Because they don't see no love. Mm-hmm. They see nothing but flesh.
Yes.
They see people getting up and saying nasty things to each other and dogging each other out and gossiping about each other. You know, you can go to some large churches. I've heard some stories where people go and nobody even acknowledges you. They don't even shake. They don't even look at you or nod at you. Praise God.
Amen.
You know, but people want love more than anything else. People want love more than they want good preaching. Praise God. Some people will come to a church where the pastor is dull. If that church is showing them love, hallelujah. Man, I've seen some packed churches where the pastor sits there and just reads a sermon. Today, the Lord wants to bless you. I mean, people will come to there because the church is full of love. Praise God. So, the way people will know that we are God's children is by how we love one another and how we treat one another. And the thing is that the love that Jesus is talking about is not, we explained to you a couple weeks, several times, that the English word love seems to capture a whole bunch of things, whereas in the Greek they had at least five words for love. You know, we just came back from, Pastor Steve was talking about the fact we came back from Philadelphia last week. And that word Philadelphia comes from the Greek word phileo, which talks about brotherly love. That was why the city of Philadelphia is called the city of brotherly love. With all the shooting and mugging going on in there right now, I don't think it's living up to his name, praise God. That's why we keep praying for Terry and y'all to stay safe. But the thing is that's not the love so much that Jesus is talking about. Because I have a brother, and I love him. And I love him like a brother, but then sometimes he can get on my nerves, praise God. And sometimes he did, you know, me and my brother, when we were growing up, we could love each other until we made each other mad, and then we tried to kill each other. I mean, you know, my sister used to talk about how me and her would get into almost trying to kill each other. She just run into her room and close the door. And she said, I ain't getting in the middle of that. I mean, me and him would literally try to beat the living daylights out of each other. Now, let somebody else try to hurt one of us, and then we jump it, we fight them. It was almost like, you can't hurt them, only I can hurt them. but see, that's not the way it's supposed to be, praise God. That's not the kind of love God is talking about. There's the Eros love, where, you know, you see a fine-looking man, or as men, we see a fine-looking lady, and because she looks so good, you look at her and say, man, I'm in love. That's not the kind of love God's talking about, praise God. And that, what you really are is in lust, praise Jesus. I know, because I've been there, praise God. I have been there. But that's not what God is talking about. The love that Jesus is talking about here, the love that he expects you and I to have for one another, is a self-sacrificial, divine kind of love. The kind of love that God has for the world. The kind of love that says that while you were yet sinners, Christ died for you. Praise God.
Amen.
It's not the love that's waiting for you to get better, and then I'll start loving you. It's the love that says, I love you despite the condition you're in right now. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I like the Weiss Expanded New Testament translation of verse 34. It says, a new commandment, a new one I am giving you, that you should be constantly loving one another with a divine and sacrificial love. Even as I love you, you also be loving one another. Praise God.
Amen.
He wants us to love not with a natural love, because sometimes, you know, I know many of y'all love your pastor, but you can also admit that there's times your pastor will get on your last nerve. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. It's the truth. It's the truth. All right? And I'm not offended by that, because I've been under pastors, and sometimes I will be my pastor would get on my last nerve. I'm telling you. I mean, sometimes he preached something, and I feel like he was aiming it directly at me. Well, it's kind of hard not to believe that when he specifically gets in your face and tells you that. Embarrassing you in front of the whole congregation. But I was still, I still made up my mind. I had to love my pastor, praise Jesus.
Amen.
I had to support my pastor, glory to God. See, so there's times I might get on your nerves. That's when you need to have a divine sacrificial love for your pastor. Amen.
Amen.
You know why? Because pastor has a divine sacrificial love for you all. Glory to God.
Amen.
Amen. That's why pastor's here every single week. That's why pastor drove all the way from Philadelphia last Saturday night, Sunday morning. Got home at 4:30 in the morning and still was at church because he loves you. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. That's called sacrifice. Because I could have stayed in Philadelphia and preached at a larger crowd and got a whole bunch of money or whatever. but I said that I got to make the sacrifice for the people that God has placed in my care. Glory to God.
Amen.
But let's look at Romans chapter 5, verse 5. See, it's a divine sacrificial love. Now, if you are born again, how many of y'all are born again today? How many of y'all can say that you are born again, you have made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? If you have not yet made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, then you need to come up here after we have finished teaching this message. But if you have made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, then the ability to love one another the way Jesus said that we are supposed to do it is right there inside you, because you have the Holy Spirit inside you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Romans chapter 5, verse 5 tells you exactly that. It says, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." Praise God.
Amen.
The divine love of God is right there in your heart. If you have the Holy Spirit in your heart, then the divine love is in your heart. What you have to do is begin to walk in it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
See, if you're not walking in it, it's not because it ain't because God has not made it available to you. It's because you made a choice that you're going to act in your flesh rather than in your spirit. See, Galatians chapter 5, I didn't put this in my notes, but you can write this down. Galatians chapter 5 makes a distinction between the works of the flesh and the fruit of the spirit. The fruit of the spirit is love, joy, peace, kindness, several other things. The works of the flesh is gossip and dissension and division and unforgiveness and all these other things. See, you can make a choice between whether you walk in the works of the flesh or whether you walk in the spirit of God. Glory to God.
Amen.
But it's your choice. See, love is a choice. Say, love is a choice.
Love is a choice.
Praise God. I can choose to love you because the love of God is in me, or I can choose to hate you. But it's a choice that I make because I have the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God tells me that His love for you is resident right here in my heart, and I just need to act it out. Praise God.
Amen.
See, when you get on my nerves, it can be easy for me to get into the flesh. And it can be easy for me to want to cuss you out.
Mm-hmm.
It can be easy for me to want to tell you off or give you a piece of my mind.
Mm-hmm.
But I've learned I can't be giving y'all a piece of my mind because I got so little. I can't spare it no more. I need the little that I got. So thank God for the Holy Ghost also giving me a good the mind of Christ, because I tell you. Amen. But that's one of the good reasons why not to get into the flesh. Glory to God. So I can choose to either get into the flesh, or I can choose to love you. But the Holy Spirit has spread his love abroad in my heart, and so I am able to love ye one another because he has given me his love. Praise Jesus.
Amen.
Now, the divine sacrificial love abiding in us is the evidence that we are born again and that we are God's children. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 3. This love determines whether you are a child of God or a child of the devil. Say walk in love.
Walk in love.
Oh yeah, it's a choice. Say it's a choice.
It's a choice.
Yeah, it's a choice. You gotta make that choice.
Amen.
It's my choice. I have a choice whether to forgive you or whether to stay mad at you.
Amen.
The Bible says, anger and sin not, and don't let the sun go down on my wrath. Praise God.
Amen.
So I've had to learn. When my wife makes me mad, get over it by 6 o'clock. Or in the wintertime, I can get over it by 8. I mean, in the summertime.
Yeah,
summertime. In the summertime, I can get over by 8. But in the wintertime, I better get over it by 5, because the sun's going down by 3 o'clock time. Yeah. By 3 o'clock, it starts getting dark. You better get over that anger. Yeah. Summertime, you can stew on it a little longer. Oh, man. Okay, what time is it? No, it shouldn't be like that, but we say these things in fun, and we should enjoy ourselves, but really, we got to learn to stop being angry and stewing over something that somebody did to us. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. But 1 John chapter 3, it says, in this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Praise God.
Amen.
Listen, y'all. If you don't love your brother, that includes sister in too. Praise God. If you don't love your sister, you don't love your brother, then you are not of God. Now, I know that's hard, but it's the truth. I know we go around, you know, we've got the once saved, always saved theology, but I'm sorry. But this is what it says it right here. You don't love me. If I don't love you, I'm not of God. This is the distinction between whether you're born of God or whether you are a child of the devil. Praise God. Jesus said that this is, how's he going to know that you're his disciples? By our love for one another. It's the distinction that's going to mark the difference. See, how well you sing, how well you can get up here and just sing. I mean, you know, there's some sisters that can sing, but that don't mean anything, praise God, if you ain't walking in love. You can get up here, you can preach real good, you can even teach real good, but if you ain't walking in love, you are disqualified, praise God.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter what your gifts, what your talents are, how well you can speak, how well you can dance, how well you can get into the church and do your little shuffle thing. If you ain't walking in love, the Bible says you're a child of the devil. I know that's tight. I'm sorry. Well, no, I don't apologize. Forgive me, Father, for even saying that. No. I know it's tight, but it's right. Praise God.
Amen.
Let's go on. I'm reading to you from the Bible now. This ain't Pastor Troy. Well, this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. Wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know, listen to this, y'all. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. We've explained this to you before. The kingdom of death is a satanic kingdom, praise God.
Amen.
That's not God's kingdom. God never introduced death into the world. It was sin. It was by sin that death came into the world. And the Bible says that Satan has held the power of death, praise God.
Amen.
So the satanic kingdom is the kingdom of death. And if you are still hating one another, if you don't seem to have any love for anybody, if you can't make a sacrifice for somebody, then you are still walking in the kingdom of Satan, which is the kingdom of death. Praise God.
Amen.
The way you can tell whether I'm really born again, whether I really love God, is not by speaking in tongues. Amen. I speak in tongues. And I thank God for it. And you can too. We're going to talk about that in a few weeks. But it's not even speaking in tongues that determines whether you love God or not, or love your, or that you're a child of God or not. Praise God. I remember when I was out sharing the gospel some years ago, and ran up to a bunch of drunk guys, and was trying to tell them about Jesus. And one of them says, "I know Jesus. I even speak in tongues."
Speaking in tongues ain't got nothing to do
whether you say it or not. Praise God. I've heard about some demons over in some foreign countries where the demon possessed people speaking in tongues. Amen. Now, don't let that scare you off from tongues, because when you ask God for the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues, He gives you the genuine thing. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. You never have to be afraid of getting a demon if you ask God for the blessing.
Amen.
Amen. But whether you speak in tongues or not, the key to whether or not you are truly born of God is love. I'd rather hang around people that aren't Pentecostal but love me and love the Lord than hang around a bunch of Pentecostals that be hating on me. Praise God. And I've been around some, I'm telling you. Praise Jesus. But it says, whosoever, verse 15, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him.
Amen.
You have the life of God is not in you if you are hating instead of loving. So what determines whether you are a child of God or not? Whether you have love one for another. Say love for one another. Say it's sacrificial.
Sacrificial.
Now turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. We really want to win people to Jesus Christ, we better start walking in love. Oh, glory to God.
Amen.
Because I understand why some people don't want to come to church. Why should they come where it ain't no different than what they see in the world? Amen. Why people act in the same way that people in the church act in the same way that the people on their jobs act. You can't even get away from the, at least if I don't come to church, I can sleep in on Sunday or watch television or something instead of dealing with foolishness in the church just like I do when I go on my job. So when if you really want to win people to Jesus Christ, show them that you love. Praise God.
Amen.
Show them love. Love makes all the difference. Did I say Ephesians?
Yes.
All right, Ephesians.
Ephesians 5.
Ephesians 5. Thank you, Pastor Steve. Ephesians 5, we just want to read the first two verses. I think we read this one last week, or at least the week before, I can't remember, but it bears reading again. Be ye followers of God as dear children. Say, dear children.
Dear children.
Now, how do you follow God as a dear child? Verse 2, gives you the answer. And walk in love. Praise God.
Amen.
How do we walk in love? Oh, Jesus said it again. This almost exact same thing he said in John 13, he says it again right here to the Apostle Paul. As Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice, say sacrifice.
Sacrifice.
And a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Praise God.
Amen.
The kind of love that Jesus expects you and I to walk in is the kind of love that he walked in, which was a sacrificial love. Say sacrificial.
Sacrificial.
Yeah, sacrificial means that sometimes I, in order for me to love you, I got to do things for you that's not even convenient for me. Praise God. I'll give you an example, and I'm not bragging. This is just, as your pastor, I just have to be an example to you. You know, I was expecting after service today, I'm just going to go home and chill out and relax. Praise God. That was my plan. I mean, I had it all planned out since this morning. Got up, spent some time with the Lord, finished up the message outline, finished up the announcements, and I said, you know, when the service is over, I'm going to come home and just chill out and just lay out. Praise God. Until I talked to the brother today, and he tells me that his foot's hurting, and he needs to move, and he needs to be moved out by the day. And then I go to his house, and I see all this stuff laying on out in this house that's got to be packed and moved. My flesh said, man, you know what? You waited till the last, to the umpteenth hour to tell me this. You think I should just wait? I should just stop my plans to help you? But then the love of God kicked in immediately. I'm exaggerating when I say some of this. I mean, I wasn't really fully thinking that, but the first thought that did pop into my mind was, gee whiz, I was gonna chill out today. I had plans to relax today. But I said, I can't lead this brother like this. Praise God. It doesn't matter if he ain't been to church in months. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter if he's not really walking fully in the faith that I've taught him to walk in. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
What matters is that he's in need right now. He needs help. And the love of God told me I have to sacrifice my desire to relax and chill out and sit in front of the computer or whatever with my juice or my water or whatever, because I don't drink beer. They tell me I have to make that sacrifice. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. So you have to make a sacrifice in order to demonstrate that you are a child of God. The way to demonstrate I'm a child of God is to walk in the self-sacrificial love of Christ. Praise Jesus.
Amen.
The one where Jesus went through all that pain. I mean, he got put nails in his hands, beaten on his back, beard pulled out, crown of thick thorns stuck on his head. Made to carry this big, heavy cross. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. And, I mean, that's why I don't like them wimpy pictures. The movies you see of Jesus all skinny and whatnot. He couldn't have gone through all that if he was a little skinny dude. He would have been dead by the first whipping. Amen, Bob, with some of them actors that play Jesus. That's why they need more muscular men to play him. But he went through all of that for you and me. Praise God.
Amen.
That's called sacrifice. That's called true agape divine love. Let's look at Matthew chapter 5. Another passage we've already looked at before, but we just need to bring out this particular point. Besides repetition, as I've said y'all, told y'all before, repetition is a very, very good part of teaching. Sometimes you have to hear certain things over and over and over again before it finally clicks in. Matthew chapter 5. Beginning at verse 43, it says, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy." Now, I don't know where anybody got that from, because that certainly isn't even in the Old Testament. Amen. The Ten Commandments starts out with, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Praise God.
Amen.
And even in the Old Testament, God said, if you see your enemy's donkey or whatever loose, you are to return that donkey back to them. So somebody within the time of Jesus began to modify the word of God to fit their own desires. Amen. You notice that people do that today? Well, they twist the word of God because they don't want to live up to a certain point. And, you know, like me, in all transparency and honesty, you know, right here in Matthew 5, Jesus said, if somebody strikes you on one cheek, you're supposed to turn the other one to them. Now, that's hard. Thank God I haven't been tested on that yet. I don't want to be tested on that. I hope and I pray that if I'm ever tested on that, then I will react the way Jesus wants me to react. And that the automatic, what? You know, like Brother Randy, he's from New York. I'm from Trenton, New Jersey, man. Trenton, you better learn, you better know how to fight, you better know how to run real fast. I learned a little bit of both. Because when I was growing up, I couldn't fight that good, so I had to run real fast. I did a lot of running home after school. but when I had to get in a fight, well, I had to tag somebody. In Trenton, you don't just sit there and let somebody hit you without fighting back. Amen. So, you know, I grew up with that nature, with that desire that, man, if you hit me, we going at it, praise God. If we gonna fight, you better bring lunch. This is gonna be a long one. But we have to learn to do things God's way. And see, I used to twist that scripture and say, well, Jesus wasn't really saying that literally. He was talking about that metaphorically. No, then I really read it and I saw he was talking about literally. So I'm just praying I don't have to get tested on that no time soon. But here we read that Jesus said, ye have heard. Notice he didn't say it is written. Praise God. Amen. He said, you have heard. It has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Ooh, that's hard, ain't it?
Yeah.
That's hard. That's why Jesus knew it was going to be hard. That's why he gave you the Holy Spirit and put his love in your heart. Praise God.
Amen.
Say, I have the Holy Spirit.
I have the Holy Spirit.
So I have God's divine love.
I have God's divine love.
All right. Y'all was loud on that first part. Y'all was a little low on that second part. He said, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which spitefully use you and persecute you. Now listen, this is the reason why. That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven.
Amen.
For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust.
Yes.
God blesses even his enemies, praise God.
Amen.
God blesses even those people that reject him, glory to God.
Yes.
He loves his enemies. And you know what? He says, if you're supposed to be my children, then the acorn is not supposed to fall far from the tree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're supposed to be a chip off the old block. Glory to God.
Yeah.
So how do we demonstrate we're God's children? By loving even the unlovable.
Yes.
You know, years ago, I was in the military. I got out of the military and began working as a civilian for a Department of Defense organization. And I had a boss, you know, he was in charge of the whole unit. He can be pretty tough to work for sometimes. And, you know, in the military, I had people that were tough to work for, but I had no choice but to take it, praise God. Because I had a colonel cuss me out big time. And I had to stand there at attention while he was doing it. At the risk of having a strike taken from me, being thrown into jail, losing my career, all kinds of stuff. You know, when you're single, that's okay. You know, you can, like, take that risk. But when I was married and had two kids, so there was a lot of risks I wouldn't take at the time. So I was glad to get out of the military. I said, you know, and my first thoughts was, when I'm working for a civilian boss, I ain't taking this kind of garbage no more from nobody. Well, I got to working as a civilian, and one day, my boss calls me into the office, and he says, Troy, I've been hearing that you ain't doing, you're not doing your work, you know, I was made the supervisor in the section, and you're abusing the people that you work for. I'm like, where are you getting all this from? And you're not helping people that you're supposed to be helping. He said, I could fire you right now, Troy, because you haven't even been here a year yet, and you're on probation. So you better remember. I mean, he was just going off on me. And, you know, the flesh was rising up. Trenton was coming out of me. I was waiting for him to finish so I could let him know, I don't need this job. I don't need you. I don't need this job. I mean, you know, I wouldn't even, at that time, I wouldn't even think about my wife and kids. I was thinking about I was just going to just kick him in his head or something. But then the divine love of God rose up in me. The Lord told me, he said, be patient and talk to this man. And so after you was finished, I said, sir, so let me tell you something. I said, I'm going to prove to you, and you give me a couple of months. I said, I'm going to prove to you I'm the best worker you got here. I said, I don't know where all this came from. I don't know who said what, and I don't want to know. I don't want to know who said what. But I said, I will prove to you I'm your best worker. I said, if I can't prove that to you in a couple of months, you are welcome to fire me. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I didn't say it that way, but that's sort of my paraphrase of what I said. So he didn't believe me. He just knew he was gonna be able to fire me after a little while, because he thought I was a lousy worker. Well, I'm gonna make a long story short for you. A couple of years after that incident, to make a very long story short, this man was about to leave, and he was taking charge of another defense area in Virginia. And in his going away speech, he was telling everybody, he said, you know what? He said, if I could pack Troy in my suitcase and take him with me right now, I would, because that man has been such a great worker. And when he got to Virginia, he established a position, he opened up a brand new position just for me. Praise God.
Amen.
He wanted me to come to Virginia and take that position. I said, I ain't working for that dude no more. I found every excuse not to take that job. I remember I had to go to a conference, an IT conference in Michigan, and one of the ladies who worked in IT that worked for him, she kept saying, Troy, all he ever does is talk about you. What can I do to please this man? All he ever says is, Troy wouldn't do it that way. If it was Troy, he would have taken care of anybody. See, that was because I chose not to operate in the works of the flesh. I chose to walk in divine love, praise God. Now, I can tell you some horror stories. I mean, I can tell you some things that I did do that wasn't so good. But I'm supposed to be an example to you right now, so I'm going to tell you all my bad stuff. But I'm saying that to tell you I've had to learn this, praise God. It didn't come to me easy. I had to practice this thing. Because there was times, before I got saved, I was a super duper nice guy. I remained a super duper nice guy after I got saved. But I also had this temper. And here's Taco just shake, yeah, I know. See, I could take stuff for a long time. But the problem is, while you're thinking that I'm just got over it, it's just stewing in me. I'm smiling in your face, but it's stewing in me. And then you do it one too many times, then the explosion happens. And it just came out of me, praise God. And I mean, and here was born again, Troy was cussing people out. Just using all kinds of expletives. I didn't hardly even curse before I got saved. But you get, boy, getting me mad, and I would just go off, praise God. And God had to teach me how to walk in love. And when you offend me, I was quick to retaliate, thinking I'm justified by the word of God. But then I remember one day, I was reading these prayers in Ephesians. And I was reading the prayers of Paul in Ephesians chapter 3. And turn over to Ephesians chapter 3. We're almost done. I just want to show you a few more things. Ephesians chapter 3, just look at verse 14. You should read the whole Ephesians prayer, and you should start praying these prayers over yourself. That's what I was doing. I was praying these prayers over myself, over some of my folks, over the folks that in the church that I was going to at the time, over my pastor and everybody. And then I came across this passage, and I realized here was an area that I was really struggling in, was the walk of love. Ephesians chapter 3. Beginning at verse 14, it says, wherefore I desire that you, for this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom, and see, I would pray it like this. For this cause I was making this personal, I bow my knee unto the Father of my Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant to me, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in my inner man, that Christ may dwell in my heart by faith. And look at this, then when I got to this part, that I, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. Notice that the love of Christ passes knowledge, praise God.
Amen.
That ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. That I might be filled with all the fullness of God. So I will pray this prayer. And I realize this ain't happening with me right now. And I ask God, God, I want to be rooted and grounded in love. I want to be rooted and grounded in love. You know, God answers those type of prayers, praise God. He told me exactly how to do. And that's when I began to really and fully walk in. I had to learn to cast out angry thoughts from my mind, praise God. I had to learn to cast, when somebody slighted me, I had to learn to, when that thought came to me to retaliate, I had to right away shake it off. Cast down that imagination, that high thing that tried to exalt itself against the knowledge of God. And I had to bring that thought into the captivity to obedience of Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. I had to cast that down, that thought. And I had to make up my mind, I am going to be rooted and grounded in love. See, once you get rooted, praise God. Once you get rooted, that means Satan can't pull you up. Praise
yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah,
once you get rooted in this thing, he can't make you act any other kind of way.
Yes. Amen.
You will know that you are a true child of God once you get rooted and grounded in love. Now, that doesn't mean you're not a child of God when you're still trying to learn to walk in this thing. Amen?
Amen.
It's just, now, if you're constantly living in sin and you don't want to walk in love, that's a different story. See, I was making mistakes, but I was still a child of God, and I wanted to rectify those mistakes. Praise Jesus.
Amen.
And so once I learned this thing, then it became reality, and I got rooted in it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, for the sake of time, so because I got like three more scriptures I wanted to give you, write these down. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 through 10. 1 Peter chapter 4 through 7 through 10 talks about loving people by doing things for them without grudging. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
It's like this morning when I saw the all the stuff laid out in the brother's house, the first thing that came to me was the complaining grudge. And try to find excuses on why I shouldn't have to deal with this. The love kicked in. And I said, man, I got to preach this morning. I tell you, the Lord gives you the right message for that girl at the right time. He said, if you're going to preach on it, you better act it. So 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 through 10 basically tells you to do these things for other people, do things for others without even complaining about it. Praise God.
Amen.
See, if you do stuff for somebody and you're doing it, well, you know, I really don't feel like doing this, but Pastor said I got to do it, so I'm just do it so I don't make Pastor mad. Then you're not doing it. You might as well just stay home. Praise God. Because you're not getting any reward. James chapter 2, verses 8, 14 through 17. You know, James chapter 2, verse 8 is right up on the screen. If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. And then it talks about love in action. It says, if I have faith and I see my brother in need and I don't help him, I just pat him on the head and say, oh, be blessed, be filled. That's not love. Praise God. That's not the God kind of love. The God kind of love takes care of the person's need. Amen.
Amen.
I remember years ago when the brother was complaining about a belt that was stolen from him and that was never returned to him. And the other brother kept telling him, just pray and God will get you another one. That's not love. Love means giving the belt back. And if you don't have the belt anymore, then replace the belt. That's love.
Yes.
And these were Christians I'm talking about. 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 through 18 talks about the fact that if you see you got your worldly goods and you see your brother in need and you don't take care of that person, then you're not walking in love. And John says, do not love in words only, but love in deed and in truth. Praise God. Amen. Oh, it's easy for me to say I love you. It's easy for me to say, walk up to you and say, oh, I love you, brother. And then soon you say, yeah, thanks, Pastor. I'm so glad you love me. You know, I'm really sick right now. My daughter's needs more food and whatever have you. Can you help me out? Oh, you know what? Can't help you right now. Say it. That's not love. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Now, that doesn't mean that you come up to Pastor and always asking for money. That's why I had to have some of these people protected, because y'all know Pastor give you a shirt off his back sometimes. that's another good reason why I have Pastor Steve and Pastor Mary. They regulate me. They don't break the church trying to help people. And we don't have no money to pay rent next month. But anyway, so those three scriptures I wanted to give you before we close out. So you can look those up when you get home. But we are to love not in mouth only, but in deed and in truth.
Amen.
That's how we demonstrate that we are truly born again, born of God, and God's children, and Jesus' disciples, is when we truly begin to walk in the God kind of love. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Did you learn anything today?
Amen.
Stand to your feet. I'm glad a few of y'all learned something today. Hallelujah. Bow your heads, close your eyes. We're going to pray.